Probably the worst form of unbelief when it involves trusting in Christ is on the part of the person who refuses to believe. Irrespective of all the evidence, he flatly chooses the way of darkness as opposed to the light of the world. This is a sad state to be in. I hope it isn't true of you. We're told in John chapter 12, verse 1, that 6 days before the Passover, a supper was given in honor of the Lord Jesus in Bethany. Now, both Matthew and Mark tell us it was in the home of Simon, who had been a leper. Probably out of a heart of gratitude to Jesus for healing him, Simon wanted to join with the sisters Mary and Martha in doing something special for our Lord. We read in verse 2 that Martha served. Now, Martha was always busy for the Lord. Some people have criticized her for being too busy. But of course, the great danger is not to do enough for Christ. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus, we read. Now, here was a man who had died, but through a miracle of Christ, he had been raised from the dead and now sat at the table. Some commentators seem to think that it was several months after Lazarus' resurrection. What a marvelous picture we have here of the marriage supper of the Lamb, when all of God's redeemed ones will be gathered in the presence of Christ, clothed with a body of flesh and bones, to give praise and thanksgiving to Christ, who is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Christian may die, but he will not stay in the grave. Psalm 49:15 tells us, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. How Mary loved her Lord! One writer has estimated it would have taken a year's labor to pay for the ointment. Mary felt that no sacrifice was too great for her Lord. Often where there is a spirit of sacrifice for the Savior, there will also be the spirit of the Antichrist. Notice verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? The words which should betray him are literally who was about to betray him. Now, there's nothing wrong with helping the poor, and those who believe the scriptures recognize this as part of the Christian's responsibility. But Judas's zeal for the poor was a mere cover-up for the greed and covetousness of his own heart. This he said in verse 6, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Verse 7, the Lord Jesus reprimanded Judas, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. How quick our Lord was to care for his own. He knew the heart of Mary. Likewise, he knew Judas's heart. Christ's anointing with spikenard was not a waste, but it was purposeful. Doubtless God laid it upon the heart of Mary to keep the ointment for some outstanding occasion, but its meaning was far more than Mary's finite mind had realized. Our Savior came not to live, but to die. His death was not an accident, but according to the plan of God. In verse 8, Jesus declared, for the poor always you have with you, but me ye have not always. In every society, regardless of the type of government, there will always be the poor and the rich. But the cross was not far distant. Christ would soon be gone. There would be plenty of time to think about the needs of the poor. The news spread quickly of Christ's personal appearance in Bethany. We read that much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now in verses 10 and 11, we're going to be told about the chief priests who consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. The chief priests were confused. They wanted to kill Jesus, but they were confronted with another irrefutable argument. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. This they could not deny. Thus it seemed feasible to destroy him first, then Jesus. Rather than admit their wrong, they were ready to commit murder. Like many in our day, rather than repent and believe, they sought for another way. But God has made it clear in his word that there is no other way. Christ is the way, and without him, there is no escape from sin. John proceeds to inform us in verses 12 and 13 that on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, lined the road with great enthusiasm and waved palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." This was a quotation from Psalm 118, verse 26. Many were certain that Christ was the true Messiah, but others were mere curiosity seekers following the crowd. They joined in crying, "Hosanna!" But a few days later, some of them joined the angry mob in shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" We read in verses 14 and 15, "Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt.'" This was a remarkable fulfillment of an Old Testament declaration made more than 500 years before. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." That's found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Not only had the Spirit of God led men of old to tell of a coming Redeemer, they were divinely guided to write even the particulars of his earthly life and ministry. Verse 16, "These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him." Probably it was not until after his ascension that many things our Lord had done and the words he had spoken suddenly became clear to the disciples. You see, they were slow to believe. Being of this world, they found it difficult to walk by faith. Indeed, we who are believers need to learn the lesson of trusting God. A limited faith can produce only limited victory in the Christian life. Raising Lazarus from the dead possibly had a greater effect upon the public than any other miracle our Lord had performed. Notice verse 17. "The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record." That is, those who had witnessed this remarkable miracle declared that Christ must indeed be the Messiah because of his power to control death. Verse 18, "For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle." The vast crowd which gathered to honor the Lord Jesus Christ caused the Pharisees much grief. Verse 19, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.'" All their intentions had been foiled. Instead of resisting Christ and killing him, the people worshipped him. The Pharisees were baffled. If they were to take Christ by force and arrest him, there would have been an insurrection among the people. Well, here again, friends, we see the fruit of unbelief on the part of the Pharisees. No matter what, they refuse to believe. What a sad state. Well, hell is crowded with people like this. I do hope that you've taken Jesus Christ into your life. Don't look for another way. We hear of many ways these days. There are all kinds of religions. You can turn on the TV or the radio and hear something about this way is the way you come to God. Here is another way to come to God. But I'll tell you where to go. Go to God's Word. See what He has to say. And if you look into the Word of God, you will understand that Jesus is truly the Messiah who came, who went to the cross, who died on the cross for your sins and mine. And if you put your faith and trust in Him, you can be eternally saved. This is the promise of God. I don't make these kind of promises. I'm simply telling you what the Bible says. And I hope if you've never taken Christ into your life that you'll do it right now. Father God, look upon those who are claiming Christ. Lead them, guide their steps that they may follow You and do Your will. Have Your way in many lives today, Father. I think of those who are wandering about in the ways of the world without hope, without God. Draw them to Yourself, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen.